Welcome to the Dr. Molina Show. We're here with a very special guest, Kathy Yardley. Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, good evening. Well, we are having a pleasant surprise this evening. Kathy is of KathyYardley.com. And Kathy, what I'd like you to do is to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
I am an author. I write romance and chick lit novels. Those are kind of contemporary women's fiction, sort of like Bridget Jones' Diary, that kind of book. And I've just written a how-to novel, or a how-to manual, I should say, nonfiction, called Will Write for Shoes, How to Write a Chick Lit Novel.
Very good. And now, I know you a little bit. I know that you're educated. Can we have a little bit of your educational background?
I graduated from Berkeley with a double major in mass communications and art history.
Did I hear math?
No, mass communications.
Oh, mass communications. Thank you. Okay.
No, not a math major.
And when were you first published? How soon after graduation? Or was it pre-grad?
No, I graduated in 95 and sold my first book in 99.
And primarily have always been involved in this little category called chick literature or chick lit?
Chick lit really broke into the United States in, I'd say, 2000, 2001. So I was on the early crest of that wave. I published L.A. Woman, my first chick lit novel, in 2002.
Wow, fabulous. Now, a little bit for our listening audience, the chick lit is about writing women's literature primarily. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is that like the Sex and the City, the single girl, the cheating boyfriend, the glamorous job? Can we define
it a
little more?
Those are a lot of the standards in what they're calling traditional chick lit now. It's expanding. Basically, it is very much a coming of age, or I like to call a coming of consciousness story, where the protagonist is a woman, or there can be several protagonists, a group of women, a group of friends usually, and they face a lot of the same challenges that today's women have to face as far as relationships, jobs, family, those kind of issues. And it's almost always with a lot of humor and a lot of I guess a grain of.
Now, is this primarily because we're getting that connotation of chick lit or writing women's literature? Is this primarily because, in my experience, women, as far as in medicine, women make all the healthcare decisions. About 80% of them make decision for the family. Is that also true with the readers? Are they making up 80% of all readers?
I don't know that women are making up 80% of the readership, but I do know that the major book-buying audience is women.
Okay, so they're buying them up then.
They're much more likely to read novels than the male population. So it's a natural fit.
So it looks like literature that you're creating, at least what I've reviewed, and thank you again for the book. I've got about halfway through it. This seems to be more of a window into what's going into hearts and minds of other women. And very, very well done. Very well done. But I didn't know there was such a thing.
it's actually a great subgenre, and it's affecting, I think, a lot of the other forms of entertainment out there. I think that the books actually predated, the show Sex and the City, and it's winding up influencing, and it's influenced by a lot of the trends that are happening now. I mean, women are putting off marriage longer, they're buying their own houses, they're really doing a lot of things that you didn't see 20, 30 years ago.
How did you find your voice for this?
It wound up being a natural fit, actually. It was more that my voice found the category. I was in my late 20s living in Los Angeles when I first got the idea for L.A. Woman, based on a lot of the things I was going through. It was kind of a bit of a late start, but I was a club kid, and I was, going out and partying until 3 o'clock in the morning and then going to work at 7. And it was just a lot of what I was going through at the time.
So in a sense, these were almost a self-actualization, the real world, and you were, in a sense, talking about your own reality.
Well, I think honestly that all novels really deal with, I often say to people, I teach at the Learning Annex, and I tell people who take my classes that when you write a book, you will usually find out something you didn't know about yourself, and you didn't even know you were trying to tell yourself, whatever the theme of your book winds up being.
What we're going to do, Kathy, is go ahead and introduce you again. Kathy Yardley is available with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, Kathy Yardley, Y-A-R-D-L-E-Y, available on kathyyardley.com. Kathy is the author of L.A. Woman and Couch World, and that was previously for Red Dress, Inc., and also romance novels for Harlequin. And she is currently living with her husband. I'll refrain from calling him Little Joe, but Joe and son in San Diego just recently had a baby. How old's your baby?
He is just about 3 months old.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, the current book that you have out that I have a copy of that I absolutely adore, because you have to understand, my reading experience has been the boring medical literature, research review, the biology, Robin's pathological basis of disease, you know, Atlas of Human Anatomy, very, very boring. So I had no idea this was out here. So to find this current novel, or book, which is Will Write for Shoes, How to Write a Chick-Lit Novel, to open it and to actually get halfway through it, I have to tell you, as I looked at it, I had to analyze it like medical literature. You know, what is going on as far as a research publication here? How is the organizational format? Does it put forth the theme? Is it beautifully done?
Wow, no pressure.
No, beautifully done, because you are very, very well organized to get someone like me to enjoy something like this, because you put it so straightforward and so concise. It obviously tells us that you're very knowledgeable about the field. If someone can take it and teach it, that expresses knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate that. That's such a high praise coming from someone from the medical profession.
Well, I was impressed, because you basically went about this book with a map. You, as much as if I'm going to talk about a condition, a pathological condition, a chiropractic wellness, and tell someone how to go about it, I'm going to put a step-by-step, I'm going to get my theme across, I'm going to give them the ABCs of it, and then I'm also going to, you know, toward the end, make certain recommendations. And you've done that. Done that with this book. You provided this book. Could also, I'll say it, could also be used for the fellas out there. I guess, is there guy lit, or what would we call that?
They call it lad lit, actually.
Oh, do they? There really is.
There really is, but it's not as prevalent. It doesn't sell as well as regular chick lit.
Well, this particular book that you have right now, the Will Write for Shoes, on describing how to write a chick lit novel, first of all, it gives the description of what it is. It defines it. It talks about what it's all about, and it actually gives the reader informative information how to go about writing on their own, because you have just the tools are in here, how to do the plot points, how to have, what was it, tacking. What is that term, tacking, that you use? Describe tacking.
Tacking is, it's actually a welder's term. When they want to join two pieces of metal together, two long pieces, you can't just weld it straight along the seam. You need to tack it, which is weld it in a few key places along the seam, and then do the whole thing, and it'll stay together better. In plotting, if you can just nail what the major plot points are going to be, it's much easier than writing the whole book from beginning to end and figuring it out as you go along.
Rest my case. As I said, you tell the reader exactly, if they wanted to write something like this, exactly how to go about it.
Actually, that is classic three-act structure. So if you wanted to write anything, if you wanted to write a sci-fi novel or a mainstream, you know, action adventure novel. You could use the same format.
Good point. Absolutely. Very good point. And then on the close of your book, you actually have letters to editors and whatnot. So this is somewhat of a self-help. Very well done. I'm anxious to get through it and very pleased. Now, how would they obtain this most recent book, Will Write for Shoes? Where is that available?
Will Write for Shoes should be available at all major booksellers, so Barnes & Noble or Borders. It's probably less likely to be in, say, Target, but at any chain bookstore, I'm sure it would be.
Now, this is the most recent book you have, or isn't there another one coming out?
Let's see. I have a short story coming out in an anthology called Come September that is coming from Harlequin. That's a romance. And then I have another romance coming out in January called Jack and Jilted.
Jack and Jilted. I love it.
It's very cute. I get to have a lot of fun writing those books.
I love it. Now, tell me, again, look who you're speaking to here. You have to understand, I'm the average, well, I won't say average reader. Perhaps I'm the average listener. I'm not the average reader for your genre. However, tell me again the difference between chick lit and a romance novel.
In a romance novel, the story is always a love story between one man and one woman. Well, there's other, if you got into a gay and lesbian press, that obviously would be different. But in traditional mainstream romance, one man and one woman can end in marriage, doesn't have to anymore. Chick lit novels can have a romantic element, but the story is much more focused on a woman's journey.
Thank you.
And she's got to change, and usually in an empowering way.
Very informative. Wonderful. That defines it all right there. I love the chick lit. I love it. You've got me. I'm going to be out there reading more. Just
fantastic.
In reading the how-to, I'm going to be out there reading more.
Then I've done my job.
You've done your job. Now, what was your first book? Was that that wasn't L.A. Woman. What was your first one when you came out?
My first chicklet or my first romance?
Chicklet.
My first chicklet was L.A. Woman.
It was L.A. Woman. Tell the listening audience a little bit about that.
L.A. Woman is the story of a young woman from Northern California who moves to Los Angeles for a man, which I can't speak for everyone, but I think I know a lot of women that have made this decision, that have decided to really make a huge life change for the person they're involved with, who consequently disappoints them or leaves them. So she winds up finding herself stranded in a new city with no idea what to do next. And she kind of finds a mentor in her roommate, who is a complete stranger when she moves. And it's just about figuring out that you don't have to have it all figured out. And she winds up really coming into her own in this city.
How are the reviews on that, some of the reviews that came out?
It was very well reviewed. At that time, a lot of chick lit was set in either New York or London. So a lot of my books, all my books really, take place on the West Coast and have more of that feel. New York books can really be frenetic. The city has a completely different energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written in the third person. A lot of the books were written in the first person. And since I had a romance background, it just had a more fun kind of voice for that.
When you graduated from school, how did you go out there and get picked up or find an editor? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I actually graduated with no intention of becoming a published author because no one I knew was a published author, and it just seemed like such a fantasy that sort of, when I retire, I'm going to write a book because no real people actually do this for a living. I come from a family of accountants, actually. So here I was out in the work world in Los Angeles, strangely enough, and harboring this secret desire to write books, and I stumbled across an organization called the Romance Writers of America. And they are about 10,000 women and like three men. And I wound up going to a local chapter meeting, and they were responsible for showing me that I met my first published authors. I've met women that actually were doing this for a living. And they really are a tremendously supportive organization. They showed me the books to go to, the classes to take, how to approach editors, who to approach. I mean, they really are responsible for me getting published at all.
So they actually can encourage participation, and they were a supportive group for you.
They're a tremendously supportive group, and it's hard to be a writer. I mean, there are days where you just, it's a tremendously isolating career. So to have a group, especially a big group of women, honestly, that when you go there, it's like the old Cheers show. Everybody knows your name. Everybody knows exactly what you're going through. You get a lot of emotional support, and that helps.
Now, did you, I remember in reading your bio, you had wrote down that you've tried some real jobs. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, God, yeah. I worked at an ad agency. I worked in ad sales. I was a production manager. I was an office manager. I was a financial analyst for a little while. I've just had a lot of different, great work experiences, but nothing really gelled as far as a career path except writing. Writing was my passion.
How long did it take you to finish your first book?
My very first book took 2 years to finish, and that will probably never see the light of day.
Did you ever submit it, or did it get rejected?
Oh, yes. I submitted it, and it got rejected.
And it got rejected.
And rightfully so. Your first book generally does. But while I was shopping that first book, I had already started writing the second book, and I had gotten a lot of feedback and was really working quite hard, and after a year, I did sell that second book.
Is it common for a writer to, because you're in the inner circle, as they say, is it common for a writer to start one project? I know it is with artists, painters, for example. Start one project and then also start another project?
It depends on the writer. I know some people that are only happy working on several things at once, because when the going gets too hard on one thing, they take a break and work on something else. I'm more of a sequential writer. I really like to work on one thing through to completion before picking up another project. I just feel like I lose touch too much with the first project if I let it, if I walk away from it for too long.
Is there, with your romance novels that you've put out, are there sequels to novels, or have you done any sequels to any
I've
of the romance?
I've done one sequel to my very first book, actually. Hmm. But otherwise, I haven't done a lot of series work, not yet, anyway.
What, do you kill off all your characters, or what?
No, I get a lot of the ideas that I wind up coming up with are more individual sort of episodes than people who do a lot of series work tend to build a large cast of characters in that first book, so you know kind of, oh, I recognize these people. I remember them from the first book. I don't tend to pick up those secondary characters. I'd like to, but usually stories don't present themselves to me that way.
You're listening to the Dr. Melina Show, and we're talking to Kathy Yardley. Kathy does have a media kit on her website, which includes her speaking engagements and some previous press clippings. You can email her at kathy@kathyyardley.com. She's also available for radio and print interviews. Kathy, do you have any current events and appearances? I mean, 3 months ago, I know you just gave birth, but...
Yeah, that's really taken up most of my time.
And rightly so. Prior to that, you'd been involved in a whole host of appearances and events and workshop different topics. You actually do speak when you're out on certain events.
Yes, I've spoken at several writers' conferences, again, with the Romance Writers of America, I've spoken at a lot of chapter meetings. There are chapters of the RWA all across the country.
Now, is this, I know with the LA Woman, you did travel. You were promoting your book, and you had some very exciting places to travel to promote your book. I believe, was Italy one of the places?
Yes.
Or am I...
I did actually get to do some book signings in Milan.
Mm.
That is definitely the coolest book signing I've ever done.
with respect to what's coming up on the calendar right now, most of your writing occurs at home. Is that correct?
Right.
So how is that going to be with your little one now? Is that going to be a blessing in disguise, lots of inspiration, or?
So far it's been a bit more of a challenge than I had anticipated, but everything about the baby has been a bit more of a challenge, a great challenge, but it's just unlike anything I've ever done before in my life. He's amazing, and just every day is different.
How do you feel that your little boy may tweak the focus on the chicklet a little bit, or perhaps something in chicklet will be forthcoming as a result?
Well, there is a subgenre called momlet.
Because
that's something that's very relevant now. I think that the book that they most often cite is called I Don't Know How She Does It by Allison Pearson, and it is about a woman who's juggling her career and her kids. It opens with her hand distressing. She's bought these pies for her kids to bring to school, and she's trying to make them look handmade just because it would be, you know, just shameful for the kids to bring in something store-bought. And I can already see just in the few months that I've had with my son, that there's a book in this somewhere.
There's a book. Now, but that doesn't mean you entirely would leave romance or you would leave chitlet. You're just actually expanding your horizons.
Exactly.
Very good. Now, how do you find your characters? How do you find out? I've read your, I'm halfway through How to Write the Chicklet novel, Real Right for Shoes by Kathy Yardley. As I'm looking at this, I see how you structure or sit down to prepare for writing your characters. But I guess what I'm asking is, where the heck do you get your ideas from?
I think it's Stephen King who said, oh, there's a farm outside of Idaho that you can just order them. But no, if you feel like writing, generally ideas are never the problem. I get a lot of people who come up to me and say, oh, you know, I've got this great idea for a book, or this would be great, and so I can give you the idea and you can write it and we'll make millions. Coming up with the idea is not the hard part. It's actually sitting down and getting the writing done. That's the challenge.
Right, and, you know, you've taken time. You're organized. It must be the accounting background with your family. But you're so organized that not only did the Will Write for Shoes, How to Write a Chick Lit novel come across to me as a how-to organizational book right from the beginning to the mid, that impressed me as mostly, medical reviewed, very boring peer review, literature chart review, you know, doctor that you have here. But what also impressed me is the fact that you give tips out to others. You know, you have no fear threshold when it comes to competition. You actually write on tips. How to, you know, if a person is drawing a blank, some steps to get through it with a clarity. How to write up on the characters, how to prepare for brainstorming. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think you're very generous in that.
Well, I think a lot of that comes from, part of it's from the RWA. I really believe that if it weren't for the generosity of the published authors that I met, I certainly wouldn't be where I am. And it's nice to use a cliche, pay that forward. But also, I don't think that you can go, I don't think that you should go into a writing career with a sense of scarcity. There's plenty of readers, and if you've been a reader at all, you know that if you like one book, you'll like three books even better if you've got the money. It's certainly not, oh, I'm just going to buy one book and you know, everybody else is just, you know, trash for the rest of the year. I love seeing writers. I love helping writers. I love seeing someone finish their book and tell me, you know, I saw it there complete on my desk. It's the greatest thing in the world. Even if you never get published, I think that writing a book is one of the most valuable things you can do. It's something you've always, you know, kind of kicked around or dreamed about.
So it's, you know, let's turn this a little bit into With the Dr. Molina Show, the theory that we work upon, or the theme that we work upon, which is alternative medicine, complementary alternative medicine, which includes mind-body medicine. And in a sense, we could even tweak this a little bit about when I want to take time off from my, you know, Robin's Pathological Basis of Disease novels or the current medical literature out there, I will just grab a book and get just enamored by the book. It takes me away somewhere else. It's very relaxing. It's a perfect time. It's better than talking to a therapist. I think it can substitute for that girlfriend who happens to be far away, and my best friend's in Florida right now. I love it for the healing aspect of allowing people, and I'm going to ask you this next question very carefully, for allowing people to become so involved with a character that they may acknowledge themselves within certain traits and characteristics of this character in themselves. They might find that they have a relationship to them, and when the heroine, for example, survives, perseveres, and you give them the attagal, you know, attitude, that's them surviving, persevering, and feeling better about themselves. So have you had, at any time, because you've written many books, have you ever had anyone come up to you and say, oh my gosh, thank you, I was going through the worst case of depression, and I read yada yada?
Actually, I had that almost exactly. Hmm. I was signing, I had just spoken at a chapter, and a woman came up to me and she said that her mother had died that summer and that she had just been going through a really horrible time. And as her mother was dying of a disease, of something chronic that lingered for a bit, the only thing that got her through it was she would read L.A. Woman, like a couple of times a week. She was it just was very soothing for her. And though obviously I didn't have something like that in mind when I wrote it, I think that as a writer, that's the highest praise you can get.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I believe this is one of the reasons why we have a tendency to enjoy books, because we can lose ourselves. Certain books we can lose ourselves within. Certain books takes the pressures and the realities of life off of us. And hopefully, and you pointed it out, the difference between the romance and the chick lit. With the chick lit, the heroine perseveres, self-actualization, gets through it, come heck or high water, they find new things of coping, and so we want to rah-rah, we want to shout for that, and this is what's exciting to me about the chick lit. This is where I can see my patients, for example, my advice to patients, go read a good book. Now I don't say it so lightly. Now I can say it with authority because I understand the basis behind chick lit and the concepts of the heroine persevering and the self-actualization and getting through a horrendous time, which in truth does occur. I mean, when you were writing some of these characters, I said, well, I met that person in my life. I know that individual. How would you categorize that? Or would you leave it up to me as in a mind-body medicine sense to categorize it more?
As far as the healing properties, or?
Well, there's a healing property when we go into forms of self-meditation, we go into forms of self-actualization, relaxation therapy, biofeedback. In a sense, the chick lit and the concept or the theme of chick lit that you very eloquently defined earlier on, an individual that is faced with certain elements in life, basic elements in life, and has to grow and has to persevere and has to get through this and rise through it. There may be a time in an individual's life where they're having depression, they're going through horrific, like the lady who came up to you and her mother was dying, and she valued your book and kept going to it and reading it, L.A. Woman, several times because it allowed her to cope with the horrific fact that, you know, she was having to go through her mother's death and deal with the mortality of that. Not only being a child, but on being losing her mother at that time. So I would look at it as a form of self-help, a form of relaxation therapy. That's how I look at reading. You know, you have to forgive me. I analyze things.
No, well, I've put forward in the book, because I know a lot of chick lit authors that get very up in arms because reviewers almost universally write off, no pun intended, chick lit. They consider it frothy, and they call them beach reads, and that they really have no redeeming value. And I'm coming from romance, and this is almost a step up, because romance is treated even worse. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, chick lit really does have themes of empowerment and themes of, you know, sort of self-actualization. But the most important thing about chick lit is that it is entertainment. And entertainment does not have to be this vilified word, you know. I think that people do need to say, you know what, I need a break. I do a lot in my life. I need time just for me, just to have a laugh, to see somebody in a similar situation, getting through it with grace and humor, and I need to feel better that way. And I don't think there's any shame in that.
No, and I one of the things also that I explored, now see, I have not read any chick lits. You actually, when I went through Will Write for Shoes, How to Write a Chick Lit Novel, and I got halfway through, you made me ponder. I took at least an hour, and I sat there, and I was trying to think, okay, what chick lit books have I read? I couldn't. I'm thinking growing up, okay, Edgar Rice Burroughs, Tarzan. You know,
not
thinking
so much.
The Martian Chronicles. You know. I'm trying to think. I never have. So once, you have to understand, I did, and I never read romance books. Just never had time. Never had time. But as I read this, this realization came on that this, here's another side that I'm exploring today by an author who has written the how-to and has been able to approach it in an organizational format so that I, as a doctor of chiropractic, can understand and can respect. Now, secondly, on top of that, recognize that I've never read romance or chick lit before. Now I've discovered, when you've listed in your book various forms of chick lit, and our listening audience needs to know, you mentioned Christian chick lit and ethnic chick lit, paranormal chick lit, chick lit nonfiction, I think, as well.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned these different categories, and I started realizing, well, wait a minute, what is this all about? And I saw when you were describing characters and how to write up, sit down and actually prepare how to do the characters or the traditional one main character, you know, the direct chronological or the multiple characters. As I was reading this, and you were basing it on storylines and what they were going through, I thought, I know a girl that went through that. I know somebody went through it. Did somebody really go through that? Boy, that sounds similar to me. It was almost joyful to see that there is actually a category or multiple subheadings under this one category called chick lit to allow women. Now, I see we're spoiled. We're in the United States. But to allow women to look at and realize, you know, there's people out there just like me, or I've never had this experience, now I'm wise. You know, it's almost like if you've never been street smart because you didn't grow up on the streets, mm-hmm. and if you start reading about it and you see what this gal goes through, now you're street smart. Does that make sense?
I think that I would caution that if you just read a book and you think you're street smart, you may not want to just
start wandering
around in, like, Times Square.
No. That's not the point.
There is experiential. But at the same time, yes, I do think that chick lit gives people, women specifically, either something really relatable, a mirror to look into, or something that they a glimpse into a life that they are interested in. So it's more like a window to look into.
Absolutely. And I think it's a teaching experience as well. See, you have to understand, in medicine, day in and day out, and I just finished a clinical hour. We typically go 7 to 6. So today I finished up about 5:30. But on a daily basis, you have to understand, in the last 20 years of doing this, the women that come in, they may have ignorance, which is a shame. Which is a shame. So when I see things like Chiclet come out that women can relate to and grow from and seek empowerment and self-awareness and gain insight or inspiration from, I have to give it up to you, Kathy Yardley. I have to say you've done a good job, because I see women come in and day out who don't know about something, weren't exposed to something. They will never know about something unless it's through reading in books like this. Yep. Or they have no self-esteem, no empowerment, no awareness whatsoever. They need to read something like this. They can't afford therapists. And I'm not saying it's for everyone, but I'm saying it's a benefit to women today.
Well, the funny thing is, and I've often said it, romance makes up fully one half of the mass market paperback sales. So half of the books, half of the small paperbacks that are sold are romances. And the majority of the readership is women. If you have a concept that you would like to get across to women, it's one of the best media to do it in. I mean, you don't want to hit them over the head, but I've tried in every romance novel that I've written to write about, especially for relationships, that you don't have to settle as women, that you really need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, that you're following your own path, and that you don't, every relationship involves compromise, but you should never compromise yourself.
Well, I think when you're talking about entertainment, and I'm talking about the realization and the empowerment, you know, we also have the other concept, and that's the business that you're talking about, how the market's driven. You see that it's evolving, and you just mentioned it, motherhood now. So that may be the ongoing dialogue to where you'll be evolving and moving into, I'm sorry, was it called Momlet?
Momlet, yes.
Okay. About what it means to be a woman today. And you'll be, I'm certain, to get, or you probably already have some strategy to get that first draft out and plot the journey so that everything will go wrong.
I was going to say, that's less of a message of empowerment than a message of solidarity, which is just, boy, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people out there that can understand this.
The whole idea here is, you're absolutely right, it is a window into which what's really going on inside the hearts and minds of other women, but I also see it as a learning experience, a teaching experience, an empowerment to women. I see women in trouble day in and day out, and if they just, you know, were able to, the cheating boyfriend, the job, the boss, the evil boss, or not getting involved with them, you know, maybe if they were able to look at this through the window or the eyes of another character, that's a learning experience. I feel women learn in this manner, not just through life experience, but also through reading and betterment and things of this nature. We're talking with Kathy Yardley. Kathy Yardley has a book out called Will Write for Books, How to Write a Chick-Lit Novel. She's available on kathyyardley.com. She's also the author of L.A. Woman and Couch World for Red Ink, as well as several romance novels. The romance novel coming out, is that for Harlequin?
Yes.
And that's Come September? What was the title?
Oh, the anthology is called Come September.
Come September. And that will be out?
That's actually out today.
Oh, it's out today.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
With respect to staying a writer, do you want to stay a writer?
Oh, certainly. I can't imagine losing that part of my life, really.
With respect to the business aspect of it, not tiring?
No, I think that's actually the blessing of coming from a family of accountants.
The organizational skills, right?
Organizational skills, and also just having not just I know too many writers that have the kind of classic sensitive creative soul, and the business world can really just
tear them up.
Just torture them. If you can, in my book, I actually say writing is an art, selling is a game. If you can go approach the business, I mean, obviously you're trying to pay bills and make money and whatnot, but you really need to approach it in a completely different way. And I don't think that you have to look at it as a chore. I think you can have a lot of fun with business.
That's a good attitude. That's a great attitude to have, because any business will eat you alive. It's true, if you allow it. Now, when you're looking at certain aspects of how to write this chick lit, we're gonna go. I love that term. When you're talking about, and we alluded to it, but we're talking about the different aspects or different types of chick lit. One, mommy lit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me an idea for mommy lit. Tell me a little bit about a mommy lit.
Well, it's basically about women who, a lot of times it's fish out of water. It's women who are having their first child that really are feeling overwhelmed and coping and having those kind of universal motherhood experiences, usually with a lot of humor. It could cover some specifics as far as, like, in New York, that kind of nanny culture, or, you know, trying to make sure your kid's in the right preschool, or, you know, keeping up with the Joneses sort of thing. But that's basically what the genre covers.
Got it. And then there's another one called the Lady Lit, I think we...
Lady Lit is... Chick Lit has generally been women in their 20s and 30s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just because I guess it's closer to a coming of age. They actually have a term for it now. They call it quarter life crisis, because middle age crisis just wasn't enough, I guess. They just are having the crisis earlier and earlier. But Lady Lit covers women, I would say, in that second coming of age, which would be more in the 50s and 60s.
So this is the menopause age.
40s to 60s.
Menopause age, typically. Oh, a chronically older one. Okay. Well, what issues are they going to tackle besides menopause?
In a lot of cases, actually, they've got one book where a woman who is, I'm trying to remember what age she's in, I think her late 40s, who winds up having an unexpected pregnancy, and she had already thought she had, you know, emptied her nest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I would think, a less likely issue.
Well,
but it's
actually,
that sort
I have
of,
patients go through that.
I think more lately, everybody seems to be having babies these days. But it's issues of dating in that, you know, I mean, it's a different experience somewhat, and at the same time, it's the same old, same old. So you've got relationships dealing with if a marriage has gone on for a long time, as opposed to the issues of newlyweds, kids going off to college, kids moving back home, trying to get rid of the kids that have moved back home.
So there's actually age. There's categories then for age, age-dependent. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think in some ways it's sort of the modern rites of passage.
Have we got anything for the 16-year-olds?
16-year-old, yes. It's young adult chick lit.
Oh,
we got a category for everything.
Well, you know what? You're never going to stop working. Okay, that answered that previous question. You'll always have something, right?
Well, and the thing is, women have always read. It's just a woman's pastime, I guess. So I think we'll stay in business.
Traditional, though. The traditional, is that the earlier age you were talking about, the 20s?
Yeah, traditionally they've been 20s and 30s. That's how the genre started. And now it's not so much that strict formula. The important part is the attitude and the voice.
And what about setting? When you have a background setting, are we looking at a cosmopolitan city? Are we looking at down on the farm with the traditional chick lit?
Traditionally, it's been cosmopolitan settings, again, that sort of Los Angeles, New York, London. But now it can take place anywhere. There's actually a book called Mean Season that takes place in this tiny little town when I think an actor or something winds up getting under house arrest and how the whole town is changed by this small bit of felicity. So it's really not a matter of, oh, I have to, you know, I have to know a big city to write these kind of books. The setting does not matter. It's all about the attitude.
Wonderful, wonderful. With respect to your parents, now your parents are accountants?
My father's been an accountant. My mom was a bookkeeper for several years, and actually now she's a social worker.
Mm. And what do they think about their daughters being an author, a writer?
They are very pleased. They were actually really quite shocked initially.
How so? Why? Why?
None of us had really pursued a creative entertainment field, media field kind of profession. Most of the time it's been business or engineering. And so for me to be a writer and actually make a living at it was sort of just dumbfounding.
So there must be a wonderful sense of pride, though.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, they've been tremendously supportive.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I do have one brother.
Mm-hmm. Older, younger?
Older.
Mm. And what does he do?
He is the vice president of sales and marketing for a Japanese entertainment company.
Well, that's entertainment.
Yeah, we're in a lot of ways like night and day, but he's actually been tremendously supportive, too. And because of his experiences is why I have such a fun time with business, why I don't see it as the bugaboo that so many of my cohorts do.
Well, I think that's with everything. It was interesting. I was reading your bios, and one of the things on your bio was written, you were so incredibly clueless. It was funny. That's when you were going to become a writer.
Yeah. Well, they do say if you want to be a writer, try being anything else.
Do anything else but. But now you can't imagine doing anything else.
No, I mean, if I had to, obviously, you know, I could make a living in other things, but you don't just write to make a living. You write because you can't help yourself. You have a story, or usually a lot of different stories in your head, and you want to share them with people, and you want to get them out.
Now, are you what's your comfort zone in writing? Are you sitting at a computer? Are you writing on a yellow legal pad? What's your comfort?
I usually sit at the computer.
Do you? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I actually taught myself to type in high school, actually junior high, I guess is when I started, and I type much faster than I write, so it's just easier to keep up with my thoughts on a computer.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Your mind gets racing. How do you?
You will get a cramp like you wouldn't believe if you write longhand. Some people write longhand because the process slows them down enough to really be thoughtful. But I'm definitely the opposite.
Well, tonight we've had a very special guest. Kathy's available, Kathy Yardley, on KathyYardley.com. That's www.KathyYardley.com. Kathy has featured books out there come September, which is a novelina. Is that correct? A novelina?
It's a novella.
Okay, see, I don't know my terms. I won't throw the medical terms at you, but I thought sound experience. We'll write for Shoes, How to Write a Chicklet Novel. And we also have still L.A. Woman is available. Couch World. We didn't bring up Couch World.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites.
So we have Couch World. There's obviously other titles as well. There's the Surf Girl School, which I love the front cover.
Yeah,
Living
that's,
down here in San Juan Capistrano. I love the color. Kathy, we're going to do this again. I'm actually going to have you on next week as well because I've captured you twice.
Ah,
and
fantastic.
I love it.
I look forward to it.
One is not suspecting. Two is actually going to be a little bit more compelling, we hope. But I appreciate your graciousness this evening and in joining us on the Dr. Melina Show. Is there anything you'd like to say to the listening audience? We've given the website information out. Is there anything else, maybe an email or
Well, my email is Kathy@KathyYardley.com, and anyone who is interested in writing, is even merely considered writing in any genre, I strongly recommend trying it. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. It's the one thing I could talk about forever.
Kathy, thank you again. Kathy will be joining us next week on September 25th from 6 to 7, and our listening audience is invited from Canada and in the United States to call us. Our numbers are listed at bbsradio.com. Kathy, thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening and happy new mommyhood to you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, dear.